Executive presence. It's a huge topic, this one. And I am very, very privileged to be joined by Shayna Davis, founder of the Executive Signals Group and a leading strategist helping companies develop market-facing leaders who can win the war on trust, talent, and technology. Shayna works with executive teams to strengthen how their leaders show up beyond the boardroom, shaping external perception in ways that drive reputation, retention, and revenue. Known for her modern approach to executive presence, she reframes it as a system of external influence, not just confidence in a room. And yeah, it's real pleasure. I'm excited about this. Why don't you like the term executive presence, Shayna?
What I found is that it's either not defined at all or ill-defined. It's been reduced over the years to character and charisma and confidence and clothing and all these things that are really just personality traits. Or it's like, oh, I don't really know what it is, but I kind of know it when I see it. And in my opinion, two things. It needs a reframe because number one, it's not a personality trait. It is actually a skill that can be cultivated and built if people are exposed to the right types of learning and development. But even more importantly, when you look at everything that companies are up against nowadays, and I know we'll probably get into that a little bit more, presence is no longer just about how a leader shows up in the room. It's how they're perceived by the outside world, because we're being judged as companies to determine whether or not we're credible and trustworthy in a lot of public arenas. Too often people think, or companies rather, they think, if I've got a strong product and I've got the right team working for me, that's the only thing that matters. But there is a perception that is being built of your organization. And if the only thing that your teams are equipped to do is to influence well internally, and they haven't been trained at all to think about how they influence well externally, it's going to be very difficult for your company to be seen as one that is credible and trustworthy, even if you have great talent working for you, and even if you have a good product or service that you're selling.
Absolutely. And at the moment, you know, when people are trying to survive in this AI disruption phase that we're going through, middle management are the ones that are suffering, right? And I mean, I probably said this when I was on your show, you know, that I know a chap who's high level in marketing, 20, 25 years, maybe 30 years in marketing. And he literally didn't do his personal brand. He didn't do it. So what happened was, is when the big tech company laid him off with lots of other middle managers, he basically had to take a job that was two steps down on the pay grade and everything else. And you know, the opposite was actually a lady that I helped with her personal brand in that corporation. And she managed to have the same thing happen to her. She did her personal brand probably a year before then, knew exactly what she wanted to say about herself, her skills, etc., because of the document that we worked on. And then she went on and got a job, right? Which was probably the same level. It looks like the same level from what I've seen. So it's brutal. It can be absolutely brutal for these people. And if they don't become an asset, right, for the business, which is pretty much where we're leading up to, that they are just toast, right? They're yep. Toast. Why is mastering external influence so critical today?
Yeah. Companies of all industries and all sizes are facing three signals that they can't control. Number one, they're in a war over talent. Number two, trust gaps are widening more and more every day. And every company is being disrupted by technology and artificial intelligence. And it has two implications. Number one, when you're up against those talent wars and trust gaps and tech disruption, the only thing that you can control are the signals that your leaders send to the market. You may not be able to control some of what's going on that is creating the trust war, you know, the trust gap, the talent war, or the tech disruption. But you can control the signals that your leaders are actually sending back to the market. But the problem is that companies oftentimes only develop their leaders in how well they're going to perform their job and how well they're going to lead their teams internally. But in today's age, there are so many roles inside of the company that have to engage outside of the four walls. They have to talk to potential hires. They have to engage with investors, potential customers. Sometimes they have to be on an industry panel or the media is interviewing them. And if the only thing they're equipped to do is to lead well, if they have internal influence, but no external influence and no external presence, it's very difficult for them to stand out and be seen as a trusted, credible brand. And then the other implication is exactly what you said. As the individual leader, you are more likely to appear as an authority in your space and be more marketable and more employable in the world of where everyone, you know, has went to a good school and has a great resume. But if you've actually given some thought into the way that you actually present yourself and some of the things that we will talk about, what I really think is external presence and executive presence, then you'll actually get a better job. You'll actually be able to stand out from all the other applicants. It's almost like when kids are applying for school right now, everybody's smart. Everybody has a good GPA. So how do you stand out? It's the same thing in the job market. A lot of people have good educations. A lot of people have a stellar resume. How are you going to stand out as an authority in your space when it's competitive? How are you going to make sure that your leaders are representing your company with trust and credibility when no one trusts anyone? No one trusts the government. They don't trust companies. They don't trust people. How can you really do that if you're only focusing on your product or service or how well your leaders are building influence inside?
Absolutely. And it becomes really difficult also for people, because a lot of companies, they actually, I'm not going to mention any names, but they actually don't want their people to be brands. And this is the real dumb thing, right? It's really dumb because they don't want people to have leverage. This is where it's at, right? It's literally, they don't want people to have leverage. And I just don't understand it. I have no idea why you wouldn't want everybody in your business to have leverage, right?
One of the reasons why companies shy away from this concept of their leaders having a personal brand is because they misunderstand why it's important and how it's relevant. The assumption that I have heard sometimes is that, oh, if they're creating a personal brand, then that probably means that they're moonlighting and they're starting a business on the side, or they're looking to leave this company and start their own business. Well, where what I say to them is that they need to think about who they are as the leader and what it is that they think about the industry that they're in and the product and the service that you sell. Because if not, the only thing that they can convey are the values of the company and the features and the benefits of what it is that you're selling. That is not going to help them represent your brand well. And so we have to first understand that when we're talking about someone having a personal brand, it goes beyond logos and colors and typography. What we're talking about here in the scope of a leader that works for another company, they are a brand, even if they're inside of another brand. And when they've given thought to who they are as the leader and what their unique point of view is for the industry that they're in and for the products and services that you sell, that's what is going to help them come across as relatable. That's what's going to help people go, this is a company that I actually want to follow, not just a corporate branded parrot that shows up and only knows how to say what's on the company website or what it is that the comms person has said, memorize these three bullet points. So I think if we can clear up the fact that the reason why you want them to think about themselves as a personal brand is so that they can be ambassadors for your brand. If they have no leadership identity and they have no even concept of what it is that they believe and what narrative they want to create, it's going to be very difficult for them to be good representatives of your brand. That's why they're scared of it, because they think, oh, they're trying to build something outside of here and leave here. It's just old. It's an old way of thinking. And the companies that win in the next decade are going to be the ones that are bold enough and willing enough to redefine what leadership means and to redefine. Listen, when everybody's got a fast product and everybody's got a great product and good customer service and high quality, you're going to run out of adjectives and superlatives after a while. The companies that are going to win are the ones that are going to recognize they have to lead differently and their leaders have to lead differently. And if you want to stay on the sidelines and you want to keep burying your head in the sand and worrying about stuff and splitting hairs over a personal brand versus somebody being an ambassador, you're going to get left behind. Meanwhile, your competitors are going to poach your top 1% of your talent and they're also going to poach your customers. But it's up to you. You're the CEO of YOU.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how does a leader build strong external influence?
For me, it's a three-pronged approach. It's leadership identity, leadership branding, and then leadership messaging. And most of the companies that come to me want to skip straight to the messaging. They think, oh, we need media and communication training. And you do. But if you don't start by doing some of the foundational work of leadership identity, then it's very difficult for the messaging to land. It's very difficult for the communication and the media training to hit the way that you want it to hit. And so we first have to look at you as the leader. What is your unique point of view? What narrative do you want to tell that supports why you work for this company and where this industry is going and how you, whatever the product or service it is that your company is selling, is actually going to have impact and make change in communities in the future, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're only going to think about what rests with the company, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to communicate well on behalf of the company. And it's also going to be very difficult for you to be recognized as an authority in your space, even if you have a stellar resume and even if you have gone to, you know, even an Ivy League school, you know, that the comparison, like everybody is on an equal playing field when it comes to those things. And so we have to focus on that foundational work of the leadership identity first. Then we can go into the leadership branding of, like, do you have the right images that represent what it is that you stand for? Do you have the right bio? Do you have the right the profile? And then we can get into how do you actually frame your ideas in a way that are clear, especially if you're working in a technical field. You've got to be able to communicate your ideas that are complex in a clear way that everybody can understand, and actually to be able to demonstrate through your words and your ideas in a way that there's value. So those are the kind of the three steps or the three pronged approach, if you will, that we take here at our company in order to help you begin to build that external influence. I actually don't even use the word executive presence. I only use the word external influence.
Cool. I mean, I think there's so many.
Or executive influence, one of the two, because executive presence, nobody knows what the heck that is. And what they do think they know it is like, yeah, that needs a reframe.
Aha. That's interesting. I'm going to go change my landing page now. But no, it all starts with the words, right? It all starts with them, right? As an individual, starts with the business. We talked about this the other day, you know, we kind of agree on the specifics, I think, of how to sort of do that. And it's just fascinating how, you know, marketing teams will go and they'll be, the marketing teams are like, oh, well, we're going to create some content for so-and-so. It's like, but so-and-so said nothing about themselves. So-and-so has got a boring presence. No one wants to read the jargon that you're spitting out under their profile, under their banner, and pretending that it's their own, right? And anyone with a trained eye, and believe me, with ChatGPT, with Gemini and all these language models, more and more people realize what is junk now. They are realizing it. And if something isn't edited properly, if it isn't based on something that is particularly interesting, it just becomes just more word salads, as Stephen J. Manning would say. Yeah. And it really is dull. And it's such a shame because we just have so much opportunity now to kind of stand out from the crowd, to stand up for what we believe in and actually encourage people, you know, inspire people. That's what it's all about, right? And being boring is just like, it's just not going to attract any attention anymore. Like, because everybody's just on the same level, aren't they? And they go and they create the brand on Gemini, and then they, you know, and I mean, MIT Technology Review, I'm looking for it, I've got it over there, but on the front cover of November, December, they said something about intelligence is still more intelligent than AI. So if we think about that, it proves that there is still a need for what we're doing here, right? And yeah. This is the most important thing, because we're, you know, everyone's scared that they're going to lose their job, that it's all going to go wrong and there won't be a need. But there is always going to be a need for this. Whether Gemini and whatever gets better and better and better, it doesn't matter, because people always need that coaching. And I just find the whole thing quite fascinating.
One of the things that I hope companies recognize is that presence is the one thing that technology cannot replicate. Presence, according to the definition of what we're talking about, not poise and polish and what kind of clothes you have on, but the real presence that we're talking about here, Nat, that's the one thing that technology cannot replicate. That's one thing that artificial intelligence cannot teach you, how to be a human and how to sound like a human and be able to connect with other humans. And if you are going to just continue to rely on technology, or you're going to continue to rely on the marketing and PR and communications people to feed your people what it is that they need to say, and don't get me wrong, the messaging has to align.
Oh, yeah.
But when you can add that additional layer of flavor and seasoning of my own thoughts, and again, we're not talking about going rogue and like, you know, like, oh, I will take a stand for this. Like, no.
No, we're not talking about.
You have a point of view about the industry that you're in and where it is that you're going. You ought to be able to have your here's what I know statements. And that should not be just what it is that AI can give you, or the marketing or the PR or the comms people can do. So we're not saying that those things are not relevant and they all throw out the window and get replaced with your own leadership identity. But your leadership identity is what is going to add the layer of flavoring to the company messaging that is going to help people say, you know what? This is a leader that I can get behind, which means that this is a company that I can get behind, which means this is a product that I can get behind, which means this is a company that I can invest in. This is a company that I can come work for, because people want to follow people. They don't want to follow robots. And I mean robots figuratively. I don't mean like actual robots that people are now creating in the state of Texas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. You know, we've talked a bit about it already, right? So how does a leader develop their leadership identity on a deeper level?
We can start by asking ourselves one question. What is my unique point of view about either the industry or field that I'm in, or the area that the product or services that my company is selling? And if you can't clearly and concisely communicate that in less than 30 seconds, without referencing the company or referencing the product or service, then you have some work to do. You have not thought about your leadership identity. But recognize it's common, especially if we're technical leaders. We're taught to focus on leading our internal teams. We're taught to work on the product or service. We're taught all of these things. But nowadays, even roles inside of the company that are traditionally non-forward facing are now forward facing. You're on social media, or you should be. You are sometimes on industry panels. I worked for a company that the CTO and the head of engineering were told, you're going to have to go talk to the potential customers that we're building this for to show them how it is going to dramatically change their industry. They turned ghostly white, and they were darker than my complexion. If you're not watching the video, I'm not white. They were darker than me, and they turned ghostly white because that's not their area of competency. There is typically a competency gap when you're asking leaders to have good external influence. And so there's nothing wrong if you've never thought about this before. It's highly common that people have not thought about this level before. But if you can't answer that one question, that's where it is that you need to start. You need to spend some time not using AI to help you, but you need to spend some time asking myself, what is my unique point of view about what it is that we're building or the industry that I'm in? And I need to be able to answer that without referencing the company. That's where you can start in order to be able to develop that level of
identity. Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think we're at a point in history where it's either now or never, right? People must stand up and actually say what they think, because otherwise, how are we going to create real meaningful change? Yeah. And this, you know, is in particular, I mean, I think about AI all the time, because that's just the focus of this show, right? And how to survive in the age of AI. And this becomes just so much more important. I'm just shaking my head for you guys who are listening on the podcast, because I'm actually just in shock that there are so many people that are just sort of burying their heads in the sand at the age of what? They're between 40 and 55. And these are the people that are really going to suffer. I mean, I know someone who, you know, top level executive, used to run. I can't talk too much about him, but basically he's been trying to get a job for like 5 years. And because he's nearly 60, people, come to the final interview and nothing, crickets. And he's even actually got a very good brand. But if he had twice the presence, if he had twice the conversations, if he had twice of the impact that he has, then maybe it might be. But then different opportunities come along. This is the point. The different opportunities can arise, and then he's okay because he's got other opportunities that have come from his brand, right? Maybe he didn't get those jobs, but you know, it's an interesting world, really interesting world. And, you know,
I'm going to be doing a talk here in the Dallas area in March, and it's for an organization called Executives in Transition. All of these executives are looking for jobs. And what I'm going to be teaching them is that if you can embrace this level of presence and you can embrace this level of leadership identity, it's going to help you to stand out in the competitive hiring marketplace right now. Because with a lot of companies having jobs that are remote, you're no longer just competing against the people that are in your city. You're competing against people all across the country and sometimes all across the world that are applying for the same job. And again, especially if you're a high performer or you're at a senior level of a position that you're applying for, how do you stand out when everyone has a solid education and a solid resume in terms of where they've worked? But if you can actually stand out in a way that demonstrates all of the things that we're talking about today, you're actually going to be more marketable in these interviews than people that the only thing that they can talk about is where they went to school and where they worked. I actually worked for a company. It was a tech company. And the CEO, I asked him, you know, what he takes into consideration when he's hiring for some of these executive level or senior level roles. And he said, when I get to the interview, I let him know, I don't care where you went to school or where you worked. You wouldn't even be in the interview if you didn't have the education and the experience to be here. But what I want to know is, who are you as the individual? Are you going to fit in with the culture of this organization? Because I can hire someone who's highly competent to do the specifics of the job. But if you don't fit the culture, that's what's going to sink my organization. So again, by the time you get to the point that you're in an interview, you're already there because of your education and your experience. So how else are you going to stand out? Just like I'm saying, like if your leader can only repeat what's on the company website, if you're in an interview and the only thing you can do is repeat what's on your resume, it's going to be very difficult for you to stand out in a highly, highly competitive hiring market.
Yeah.
But I can go on and on.
But it makes you really boring as well. And if you haven't traveled and if you don't, you know, if you don't make an effort to speak languages, if you are kind of one dimensional, but people of that age, like who we're talking about, they should have a lot of good life experiences.
They should have some stories.
Really interesting. And some stories. And those stories are what makes them interesting, right? And that's the beauty of it, because those stories build relationships and those relationships bring conversations. So I mean, what more can we add? I mean, we could go on for days and days, and I'm sure that we will talk about this again. I don't see why not, you know, because things evolve. There's always new knowledge to talk about. Maybe next time we'll talk about some of the people that we've helped and things like that, because that's really exciting. When you sort of think about the people who you've helped to get better jobs and things like that, it just feels good. Like inside, there's just a really good feeling around it. And, you know, it's been lovely to speak with you again. And, you know, so if people want to get you, I will drop your LinkedIn profile somewhere. Was there anything that you wanted to kind of add about that?
No. So I would say, obviously, you can go to my LinkedIn. I'm Shayna Rattler Davis on LinkedIn. I would love for you to follow me there. DM me if you want some ideas or questions. But I also, you know, I talked about my three-pronged approach of leadership, identity, branding, and messaging. I have a white paper that I created that you can get at externalinfluence.us, where I go into the other two prongs a lot more deep differently than what we were able to grab today. So obviously follow me on LinkedIn, and you can also go to externalinfluence.us and you can grab that free report. Well, it's not a report. Cool. It's more of an insight paper.
Classic. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Appreciate everyone for listening. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.